It's such a privilege to be in the house of the Lord and to experience His presence. And let's just pray together. Can you stand with me as we pray together? Yes, Father, we just thank You this morning that You are the God above all gods. Thank You that the name of Jesus is above every other name. And God, as we gather to worship You, to lift up Your name, God, we pray that You will touch our hearts. God, I pray this morning for divine intervention in our lives in the name of Jesus. We thank You for Your presence, God. We thank You, Jesus, that You attained the victory for us. And thank You that we can step into that grace this morning. For we pray it in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children say, Amen. Amen. Hey, it's always so great to have communion. You know what? Because I believe that Jesus is in the communion. You know, we share His body and we share of His blood. So guys, as we enter in this last month of 2024, I just want to encourage you to keep your faith vibrant. You know, the danger is, in Afrikaans sê ons dat ons ons skilde laat val. You know, how would we say that in English? We drop our shields. That we drop the shield of faith that God has given us. Guys, we need faith. Are you still with me? Kan iemand amen in hierdie plek sê? Okay, we need faith. We need faith in the name of Jesus because His name is mighty. His name is the only name that was given so that we can have salvation. There's salvation, Acts 4 verse 12 says, in no other name. So I want to encourage you, you know, it's like, you know, oh man, it's einde van die jaar, en ek is nou so moeg, jy weet, en ek kan nie meer by die Here uitkom nie. Are you still with me? I'm just surviving. No. We're not going to survive, we're going to thrive. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. You know what? The enemy wants us to speak our situation. Are you still with me? You know what? Gideon, in Judges chapter 6, he was busy with the wheat, you know, winnowing the wheat, you know, somewhere there in a hole in the ground. And the angel of the Lord was watching at him. Okay, and God wanted to speak to him words of life. You know what? And when God started to speak to Gideon, he said, you know, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Man, this is how God speaks to Gideon. Gideon didn't fell like a mighty warrior. He was like, oh God, I'm the weakest in my family. And God, my tribe, you know, we're a useless tribe. You know, the moment we start to speak our situation, the moment we start to speak what we see, we are in trouble. The enemy has already deceived us. The enemy, you know, he has already to have us in a place to speak what we see. Speak His word. Are you still with me? Speak His word. What does God see? God says, I see a mighty warrior. God says, when I look at you, I see a mighty warrior. You know what? And Gideon was like, and if the Lord is with us, where's His miracles? Guys, can I tell you, your perspective determines what you see. Are you still with me? We can either see around us, we can see on this level, or we can see on the level of the Spirit. What is God working? What is God doing? What is the word that He's releasing in our midst? You know, as I listen to these worship songs this morning, it's like God saying, there's a lot of people in trouble here. He says, but you need to learn to praise me in the fire. That fire was burning, you know, 100 meters from my house. And the choppers were coming over, man, and they were bombarding that fire, you know, like I think it was 4 of them. Man, I got a new trust for helicopter pilots, man, or a new admiration for helicopter pilots. You know what? And so I want to encourage you this morning. Don't be distracted by what you see around you. You know, ask God, God, what are you saying to me? Guys, because there is power in His name. Nobody believes it. I'm going home, back to my wife in Paul. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 16. I want to encourage you, before we get to the Word of God, let's jump in. But I want to put faith in your heart. You know, God came through for Gideon. But God had to shift his mind from speaking what he see and speaking the situation to trust God and to move with God in what God has for him. Are you still with me? God says, build an altar for me. Worship me. You know, and then he go by night and he built an altar for the Lord. Okay, guys, are you in Mark chapter 16? Let me give you that scripture. Mark chapter 16. Let me find it in my Bible. Verse 17. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. He says, signs will follow us if we believe in his name. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. You know, when they arrested the first apostles, you know what? And they came before the Sanhedrin, that are the Jewish leaders. And they said, you know, by what power, by what authority do you do these miracles? They said, by the name of Jesus. And you know what the guys told them? They said, we don't allow you to speak in that name any further. What does he tell you? There's power in the name of Jesus. We must use the name of Jesus. It says, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. There's power in the name of Jesus. And I want to encourage you this morning, start speaking the name of Jesus. Don't pray your problems. Ek gaan nou nog 'n bietjie water drink. Don't pray your problems. Don't pray your situation. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, before he taught them how to pray, he said, you've got a Father in heaven, and he knows exactly what you need. Are you still with me? We've got a Father in heaven, and this Father knows exactly what we need. So we need to connect to heaven. And we must speak what heaven is speaking over what we need, over our situation. And if you start by the name of Jesus, you're on the right track. Are you still with me? Because Jesus, he said, let me teach you how to pray. He said, our Father, not my Father. Our Father, there's power in unity. Are you still with me? There's power in unity. There's one whole psalm. Psalm 133 is about unity. And Psalm 133 says, where there's unity, God will command a blessing. Amen. You want God to bless you? Live in unity with your spouse. Contend for unity in your marriage. Because God blesses unity. Where there's unity, God commands a blessing. In your bigger family, in this church family, in your home group, you know, where there's unity, God commands a blessing. Where there's unity in the band, God comes through. He commands a blessing. Are you still with me? Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. He says, God, I bless that they, his disciples, will be one, just like you and me are one. There's power in unity. Our Father, who art where? In heaven. So Jesus is raising the benchmark from earth to heaven. Where is he? He's in heaven. And that means that you and I need a heavenly perspective on what God is doing. Are you still with me? Okay, guys. The one preacher, you know, he said, "Ach, no, man." He said, this preacher, he was speaking. He said, this guy is listening. He said, you know, what you're speaking is getting over my head. He said, then just stand up and it will hit you. are you still with me? So, guys, we need a heavenly perspective. Colossians 3, he says, "Bree, allee goed dink wat jy op die aarde is nie, but think about the things that are in heaven." We need a heavenly perspective. Because in heaven, Jesus, God sits on the throne. Are you still with me? He's got absolute authority. His name is Lord. He is the I am that I am. Are you still with me? That's heaven. So the moment he's not sitting on the throne of your life, the moment if he is not God, the moment if he's not Lord, guess what? We don't have heaven. Because heaven is where he sits on the throne. Heaven is where he's Lord. Heaven is where we obey his word. Hello? Okay, this is for free, guys. We'll take up the offering later on. No, I'm just joking. Okay, are you still with me? So don't, let's get back to Judges 6, Gideon, don't speak your situation. Because when we speak the situation, we agree with the enemy. No, no, no. We want to agree with him. Because there's power in what he says. There's power in his word. The Lord is my shepherd. Thank you, Aachen, for sharing that word. The Lord is my shepherd. I want nothing. If he's your shepherd, if he's guiding you, you have everything that you need. You know what's the lie of the enemy? God hasn't given me everything that I need. Hello? I still need 500 rand. Okay, it's a new month. It's the start of December. Are you still with me, guys? Okay, are you still with me? The lie of the enemy is that we lack. The truth is his name. When he revealed himself unto, was that guy? Moses. He said, "I am that I am. I am everything, Moses, that you will need on this journey to do my will. That you will need to take the people out. I give you everything. I am everything that you need. The Lord is my shepherd." Dis maar 'n slegte lewe hieronder. Are you guys still with me? Am I rocking this boat a little bit? Okay. So guys, there's power in his name. Okay, so we must speak his word. We must go with him. Don't speak the situation. Don't speak what you see. You know, in Ezekiel somewhere, where is it? 47 or 37, you know, God took the prophet into this desert, you know, and he told him, "What do you see?" And he says, "Bones. I see bones." Dooie bene. Okay. Hulle is so dood, jy kan nie sop van hulle maak nie. Okay. And then he asked him, "Can these bones live? Can what is dead live?" And you know what? That prophet gave an excellent answer. He said, "You know, Lord. You know." It's like he's saying, "What do you say, God? What do you say about these bones? What do you say about this situation?" You know what? And then he starts to prophesy what the Spirit told him what to prophesy. And prophecy in its most simplest form is to speak words that are inspired by the Holy Spirit. And if you read your Bible, if you read that book, if you read that word that is inspired by the Holy Spirit, it will bring you life. Are you still with me? Okay, guys, I want to help you this morning. Are you still with me? Okay, so we need to speak words that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. This book is inspired by the Holy Spirit. That Greek word, anybody study Greek here? Okay. But that Greek word literally means it is God-breathed. Theopneustos. It's like theos is God, pneustos is spirit. It is God-spirited. It is God-breathed. So there's life in it. And that's why Scripture says we must meditate on it. Donkey, donkey, Johannes. Give that man a chocolate. So that's why we need to meditate on His Word. Okay? Meditate on it day and night because there's life in it. And the more you meditate on it, the more it becomes part of you. Are you still with me? So we need to get into His Word. Okay? Because, you know, that will work life in our spirit. So that is so important. He said, those that meditate on my word will be like a tree planted next to the streams of waters. He says, and their leaves does not wither, and they give fruit in every season, and everything they do it. How? They prosper in everything that they do. Is there people here that likes to prosper? Yeah? Prosper doing God's will. Prosper in doing God's will. Hallelujah. Let me take another sip. Okay. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So guys, let's do His word. Let's speak the name of Jesus. You know, declare the name of Jesus. You know, what was that? Excuse you, from verskoning. Okay, so let's get in. You know, keep your lamps full of oil. Don't let the enemy tell you, ach, amal is nou moeg die tijd van die jaar, jy weet, amal is poot uit, jy weet, ach, jy kan maar so optree soos wat jy optree. That's a lie from the enemy. Keep your lamps full of oil. Hello? Keep your lamp full of oil. And how do you keep it full of oil? Spending time with Jesus, obeying Jesus, getting into His Word, obeying what He tells you to do. Are you still with me? Guys, make it a good Christmas. Don't let the enemy wreck your Christmas and your Christmas holiday. Keep your lamps full of oil. I'm speaking to you this morning from Paul, from the fire. when you're facing an impossible situation. When you're facing an impossible situation. Am I speaking to the right crowd? Amen. Amen. So what happened here is, like, you know, the context is Acts chapter 11, where the church in Antioch was, you know, was born by believers. He said some of them didn't only speak to the Jews, but speak to the Jews and the heathen and the Greeks. And you know, in Antioch, a church was birthed that was truly multiracial. You know, it was Jews, it was Greeks, it was heathen all over. And you know what? That church, you know, it's like it exploded in a short time. So God was giving the church breakthroughs. Chapter 12, is that what we're gonna focus on? Is what the enemy tried to do to Peter. And then chapter 13 is where the Holy Spirit said to the church in Antioch, the leaders, like your leaders, they went for a time of fasting. You know, they went for a time to serve God, to lift up His name. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to Paul and Barnabas. Excuse me. you know, and he said, you know, sonder vir Paulus en Barnabas af vir die werk waarvoor ek hulle geroep het. Okay, so, okay. Take Paul, Barnabas, lay hands on him, let him go so that they can go to towns, that they can spread the gospel, that they can start new churches. So there was great excitement in the air. You know what? There was this new church. This church was a growing church. It was exploding. You know, this, you know, there was people of all races. They were worshiping Jesus. And you know what? Usually great breakthroughs are followed by persecution. Man, the day one you give your tithe, day two the enemy, you know, your car broke down. You know, persecution is always followed by a time of testing. Okay? If you say yes to Jesus, guess what? You will be tested on that commitment you made. Are you still here? The enemy don't want us to go there. And on the other side, you will be tested to see if you really mean what you say. So there was a great, great breakthrough. And guys, what happened, you know, is that you know, the enemy came to harass the leaders. So point number one is Peter was in big, big trouble. Acts chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 said, are you still with me now? About that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. That's harassment of the leadership. Verse 3, and because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, that was during the days of unleavened brethren. Unleavened bread, not brethren. So this was the time of the Passover. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers. That's 16 soldiers. 16 soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. So guys, let me just say this. We need to pray for our leaders. Pray for Kobus and Lorette. Pray for the leaders that, you know, went for this time of afsondering. Help us, Mickey. Sep, you know, pray for them. You know what? You know, I want to tell you the things that leaders, that church leaders go through. It's hectic. Man, it's hectic. I spoke to a leader, you know, phoning me this week, and there was such trouble brewing in that church. And there was another pastor, a whole story. I'm not going to tell you everything. But, you know, I could experience, you know, this church is at the brink van a skier. What's a skier? You know, you're not going to skier. This thing is going to split. And it's only by the grace of God, I think, that they could turn it around. You know, and God wants unity. God blesses unity. So let's pray for our church leaders. Let's pray for the, you know, everyone that's got a leadership role in the church. You think we can do that? Okay, let's stand. Let's just stand and can we ons hart op bid? Yes, amen. Yeah, let's just pray for our leaders, for Kobus, for Lorette, for the leaders of this church. Yes, Father, we just thank you, God. Thank you that you have called, that you have put your hand on certain people, God. And we honor them, God. We recognize that you have called them. We recognize that you have put your hand upon them, God. And this morning, God, we pray for Quibbers. We pray for Lorette, God. We pray for the elders, God. We pray for, I don't know, the zone leaders. I don't know who's everyone that's there, God. But we pray in the name of Jesus that you will meet with them, God. We pray that they will have hearts that soft towards you, God, that hear your voice, that want to run with what you have given them, God. And we pray for church leaders all over, God. We pray that they will stand strong, that they won't be intimidated by the work of the enemy, God, but that they will keep to your word, that they will be faithful, that they will obey you, that they will follow you, God, so that your church can thrive. For we pray it in Jesus' name. And all of God's children say, amen. 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 Thank you. Guys, remember to pray for your church leaders. Will you pray for them? Oh, you great guys, man. I like to preach to people that are responsive. So the enemy had the plan, you know, they want to kill, he killed James with the sword, and Peter, you know, he was in trouble. He was in an impossible situation, given over to 16 soldiers. His life was on the line. And he knew what happened to James was going to happen to him. The second thing, what do you do when your life is on the line? So he was thrown into prison. Acts 12, verse 5, it says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant. Some translations, they say, constant and fervent prayer was offered to God for him by whom? By the church. This church was praying. Hello, Johannes. This church was praying. Jesus said, my house will be called a house of
prayer.
For the? But you have made it a den of thieves. Thieves come to get. Worshippers come to give. Don't be a thief. So what do we do when our life is on the line? The church, not Peter, the church was praying. The church was praying. You know what? The more people pray, the more stuff is happening in the heavenlies. Things are happening in the spirit. I saw it yesterday, man. There were so many people praying, you know. That was an impossible situation because the wind was like blowing right, the fire right towards the houses. It was like, hey, ay, ay. It was not a lack of plaque to be. Man, I never prayed so much in my life. and you know what, Johannes? I prayed which I thought was the best thing to pray. And that was, God just turned the wind around. But don't be as stupid as I am. Because when we pray, we don't tell God what to do. Prayer is not to tell God what to do. Are you still with me? Okay, guys. Ek gaan nou my water vat en loop. Prayer is not to tell God what to do. Prayer is to align ourselves with heaven. What does heaven want to do here? Prayer is to bring myself under the lordship of Jesus Christ. God, have your way. And it is to connect to Him. And it's to say, God, what do you want to do? Are you still with me? Yeah. I was like a dumb man. Yeah, draai net hierdie wind om, man. As hierdie probleem op. But you know what? God sent angels, chopper pilots, and brandweermanne. You know, fire guys, you know. And man, praise God for angels. You know, if in God's church, angels play such a big role. So they were praying, I said, constant and fervent prayers. You know, corporate prayer. You know, the prayer meeting is like the Cinderella of church. Ek moet nou amen sê. Prayer meetings are like the Cinderella of churches. We've got to pray. Man, you know, I remember prayer times is like, yeah, okay, if we can just be 7 or 8 or 9 or 10, 12 is revival, man. Are you still with me? So we need to pray. That's what the, you know, the disciples of Jesus did. So okay, so this church was praying. Okay, they, you know what, the leaders of the church positioned them for a divine intervention. So it's important that we as people of God, you know, position ourselves for a divine intervention. And then the word says in Acts 12, verse 6, it says, the night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he worried himself to stitches. What did he do? What did Peter do? He slept. Man, that's a miracle. Wie van julle kan worry? Who of you can worry very good? Who of you are control freaks? You want to control the situation. And here's Peter. Peter is asleep. Okay? It says here, fastened with two chains. He was double chained between two soldiers. I don't know how you sleep in that situation. It can only be by the grace of God. And you know, Johannes, weet jy hoekom dink hy het geslaap? Because he knew there was people praying for them. And that people know how to pray. They know, you know, how to stand before heaven. They know how to declare the name of Jesus. They know to bring the whole situation under the lordship of Jesus. Say, God, we don't know what to do, but you know. And we pray that you will do what you want to do. But guys, our prayers matter. So he was asleep, and it says, and other soldiers, they stood guard at the prison gate. So why did they do it? Acts chapter 5 says, because the apostles, you know, they had a reputation for prison break. Acts chapter 5, you know, what happened there is that, you know, the Sanhedrin and the Jewish leaders, you know, the apostles were preaching the gospel in the temple. And so they put their hands on them, put them into jail. And verse 19, but at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, brought them out and said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Man, ek wens ek was so braaf gewees. Huh? Go back. The place where they arrested you, go back to that place. Finish what you need to finish. Man, I love this believers in Acts. There was something different to them. They were fearless. They were fearless. You know, they didn't fear men. They fear God. They said, go back. What did they do? They go back. The next morning when they said, hey, bring the prisoners in. We want to, you know, go on with this hearing. They said, they're not in jail. They said, where are they? They said, no, they're in the temple. They're telling people the good news of Jesus. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. There's salvation. There's deliverance. There's healing. You know what? You remember that small guy? David, in his, you know, when he met Goliath. You know what? And then Goliath, he said, ah, you know, who's you? And look how you come to me, you know. And then David said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And you know what? When we go against the enemy in the name of the Lord of hosts, then what we have is enough. Suddenly, the slinger fell. What's that in English? That sling was enough. what you have is enough. You remember Elijah? God sent him to a widow in Zarephath. You remember that story? She said, I only have a little flour, little flour, and just a little oil. He said, bring me the first one. And then you can make for you and your son, because the Lord says. Because the Lord says, the flour and the oil, you know, it won't get finished. It's only operating. Are you still with me? I trust God is stirring your faith. I believe He wants to stir our faith. So Acts 5, okay, we did Acts 5. Number 3 says, follow His instructions to the T. Guys, if you are facing an impossible situation, follow His instructions to the T. Verse 7 of Acts chapter 12, it says, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him. Suddenly, he's in jail. He's sleeping. But the church is praying constant and fervent prayers. The angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. How do you know this is God? Because there's light. When God shows up, there's light. There's no darkness. There's no confusion. There was a light shone in the prison. He struck Peter on the side. That wasn't so friendly. And raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Guys, when God shows up, follow His instructions. You know what? The angel struck him in the side. The angel said, arise quickly. And what did Peter do? He did it. And sometimes we need to arise in our spirit. We need to arose in our spirit. You know, sometimes our spirit is down. And I understand that. My spirit was down many times. But you know what? When God speaks to you, when His word comes to you, choose to obey it. Choose to do it. Guys, James says in his book, he says, faith without actions is more do it. You know, if God tells you to do something, you need to do it. That's faith. That's trusting Him. That says, God, I trust that you can do it. The angel said, arise quickly. And what happened when you arise? Doom. Double chains fell off. Guys, when you arise, when you move with Him, when you stand up in your spirit, guess what? The miracle starts to happen. The chains fell off. The chains that the enemy is binding you down, they fell off. Arise. Arise. Get your spirit up. Get your spirit up. In, I think it's 1 Samuel 30. You can just check it. But David and his men, they went out to help the Philistines in a battle. And the Philistine says, David, we don't trust you. Please, go home. And David had to go home. And when he went back to home, the place was called Ziklag. Okay, he went home to Ziklag. And when they got there, some of David's enemies, they came, they burned the city down, and they took everything. The livestock, the women, the children, everything. And as they were coming back, you know what? The men start talking to one another. Hello? What were they talking? The situation. Are you still with me? They were talking. Oh no, you know, this is all David's fault. Hello? This is all David's fault. And you know what we're going to do with David? We're going to stone him. And David, what did he do? The Afrikaans, it says, en David het homself versterk in die Here, sy God. He strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. He said, God, I worship you. God, your name is above every other name. Guys, there's time that you and I need to arouse in our spirit. Want dis wat die vyand wil doen. Hy wil jou gees pap maak. O, dis einde van die jaar. O, ek is so moeg. En ek wil nie dominee is dat het einde van die jaar is en dat ons moeg is. But keep your lamp full of oil. Keep your lamp full of oil. Sê, kom vrou, kom ons gaan bid. Bring die kinders. Kom ons worship 'n lied saam. Kom ons kry die nagmaal uit. En ons sê vir die Here dankie vir wat hy vir ons gedoen het. Because he is enough. Hallo. Praat met die priesters. Do it. And if your priest is not doing it, encourage him, mama, to do it. We want unity. Nee? We don't need accusations. Jy moet dit doen. Nee. We don't. We want unity. So as angel said, okay. So stand up in your spirit, because when we stand up in our spirit, the chains will fall down. Then the angel said to him, we're talking about following his instructions to the T. He said, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, the angel said, put on your garments and follow me. And what did he do? He said, now I'm going to stay here. No. So we went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. So all this happened for real. And this guy was thinking, man, this is a vision. You know, I'm still dreaming. Are you still with me? But what we see is that he obeyed. Explicit obedience. Explicit obedience. Do what he tells you to do. Are you still with me? Man, if you want to progress in your spiritual life, when God tells you to do something, do it. You know what's the most difficult thing to do is when God tells you to do something and for you it's like it can't work. You know this thing, I don't understand it. To obey when you don't understand it is one of the most difficult things when you follow Jesus as your Lord. And guess what? He likes to do it. Repent gou so bietjie. Okay. You know, Luke chapter 5, Jesus is speaking to the crowd. You know, they came to listen to the word of God. And Jesus was speaking, you know what? Peter was sitting there, while Hagen is sitting, you know. And Jesus could see, you know, this guy, he's catching the word. He's catching what Jesus was preaching on. And when Jesus finished, he said, Peter, take your boat and go fishing. And Peter was like, Jesus, I've been there last night. We spent the whole night there. And Jesus, let me tell you, as an experienced fisher, Jesus, there's no fish there. Obeying when you don't understand it. And then Peter said, but on your word. What is the situation saying? There's no fish. I've been there. I fished the whole night. Now I'm cleaning the nets for tonight. Jesus said, now is the time. When he says, now is the time, we need to obey. And so, you know, he get his crew together. You know, they got the nets together. They went, and guess what? The biggest catch that you would read in the Bible. They had to WhatsApp their friends and says, come help us. You know what? This boat is going under. But that's our biggest test. To obey when you don't understand it. This is my last 100 rand. God, what? You know? And then God says, you know, give it to this guy. God, you don't understand. I need to buy milk and bread and I hoop ons vir die beste van die res van die maand. No, do it. Tell your husband, I'm sorry, God, he's wrong. Okay, where we are. Did we went through that whole scripture? Okay. Did we read the scripture? Okay. Sorry guys, I just need to catch up here. Okay, verse 10 says, and when they were past the first guard and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. When the angels are with you, it looks like angels have the remote control for iron gates. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. So the angel did his job. Okay, did Peter commanded or instructed this angel? No, we don't instruct angels. God sends them to us. And when Peter had come to himself, okay, he's now back into reality. Okay, this is real life. He said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. Man, when we move with him, when we obey him, when we follow his instructions to the T, we experience breakthrough. We experience salvation. We experience what he intended for us, which according to Jeremiah 29:11 is a future of hope. Are you still with me? We love Jeremiah 29:11. But read verse 12 and 13 as well. That is powerful. In its context. Number four, from prison to the house of prayer. What happened here is that, you know, then Peter. Also known by Petrus. Peter, you know what? He came to reality, verse 12, and he went to the house of prayer because he know someone was praying for him. No. He know that the church was praying for him, because this church in Acts was a praying church. You know, they had prayer support all the time. It was the house of Mary. His son's name was John Mark. I will talk to you another day about John Mark. And it says there was quite a group together. That's Acts 12, verse 12. Okay, so, and when John came to the door, verse 13, It said, you know, he was knocking on the door, and you know, a girl named Rhoda came to answer, and when she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she was so glad. She was like, this is Peter, this is his voice. You know, she ran into the house and she announced that Peter stood before the gate. And okay, Johannes, kyk hoe reageer hierdie ouens wat vir haar gebid het. Verse 15, but they say to her, you are beside yourself. One of the translation says, jy skoon van jou wysie af. Yet she kept insisting that it was so, and so they said, it is his angel. We talked to that about another day. Now Peter continued knocking. And finally, somebody heard there was a knock at the door. They opened the door, saw him, and they were astonished. So it's like, you know, when we pray, we need faith. You know, these guys were praying, you know, like I prayed yesterday. I said, God, please, 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 you know. So when I saw this prayer of mine that the wind is not going to change and turn around, I said, God, I know you will do a miracle. And God did a miracle by the angels of Joppa for our pilots and the firemen. So God is great. And then the last one is tell your story. This is so important. number 5 says, tell your story. In Revelations 12, it says, and they overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they didn't love their lives to the end. Something like that. Thank you. There's somebody that knows the Bible. They did not love their lives unto the point of death. Our problem is we love our lives too much. When we pray about God, I, me, and myself, please help me, God, then the world would be fine. We believe it. But you know what? Jesus came to lay down his life. He came as a servant. You know, Job, what turned his situation around? It says, when Job prayed for his friends. Was his friends great? I don't think so. You know, they told Job, you must have sinned, you know, that this thing came over you. And Job said, no, I'm innocent. I didn't sin. Do bad things happen to good people? Yes. I believe Peter was a good person, you know, but his life was on the line. So tell your story. And that's what Peter told them. He said, finally, they opened up, saw him. Verse 17, they went wild, and Peter put his hands up and calmed them down, and he described how the master had gotten him out of jail. And then said, tell James and the brothers what's happened. He left them and went off to another place. And guys, I just wanna encourage you. Tell your story. You know what the enemy tells us? Ah, that story, you know, there's no power in that story. Man, tell the story of your salvation. Tell the story of how Jesus saved you. Tell the story of the biggest day in your life. Man, I love to tell that story. Man, I was great then. You know, gave my heart to Jesus so many times. Maar steeds so ongered soos 'n vis, you know. And then one day Jesus came, you know. And he said, go and talk to your mom. You know, I just felt I had to need to talk to my mom. I was so shy. I was so shy to talk to her about the biggest thing in life. So I took a track, you know, too shy to talk to her. I show her the track, say nothing. And she said, you know what? You need to accept Jesus in your life. I heard that 20 million times before. But that day, I believe it was obedience. Heaven opened. I was born again. I saw Jesus dying on the cross for me. I just felt this, you know, this, like this heavy, heavy, huge rock falling down my shoulders. And he saved me. 14 June 1977, almost 50 years. Almost 50 years. And by his grace, he kept me standing. But tell your story, how God came through for you. Man, there's so many stories that we have. Tell that story. Tell that story, because there is power in that story. You know what? And that will raise your faith. That will work faith in your heart. And it will work faith, you know, in the heart of those that hear that story. Let's stand and let's pray together.